Let's see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. I have a very interesting guest for you guys. Shannon Sweet. You are a real-life prostitute.
Yes, I am.
Yes. And how long have you been doing this for?
You know, it's probably been about on and off for about 8 years.
Right.
And then straight for about 5 years. Okay. So 8 years altogether.
But, 8 years total?
Yeah.
So, like, when you say that 8 years total, you took some time off.
I took a little bit of time off. I was an exclusive companion to one person for about a year.
Okay.
And then, so I was out of the business for about a year, and then took a little 6 months off or something. And yeah, the rest of the time it's just been being an escort.
Really?
Yes.
So how do you get into something like that? Like, what was your main motivation to become a prostitute? Yeah.
So I'm a single parent.
Yeah.
And I had a couple kids to take care of. And I had two separate friends, probably about a week apart. They didn't know one another, so it was a little odd. And they both were like, how are you affording to live? You're going to university full time. You have these kids you're taking care of. Like, how do you afford anything? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just making it work. And both of them suggested this. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I've never even thought of that at all. And mm-hmm. both of them, you know, encouraged me to do it. So one who had more time on her hands than the other, or me, researched a bunch of stuff and got me involved with an escort agency. And I don't think there were a lot of tall redheads with big boobs in Edmonton at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I became pretty popular pretty fast, and I was completely anxiety stricken and quit that. And it was just too overwhelming, I think. And the same friend then later suggested Body Rub Studios, which I didn't even know existed.
Right.
And she hooked me up with a body rub studio. And that's how I got into the business.
Now, to put it in more much. Aggressive terms, is that just like kind of like a
it's a brothel.
Okay.
No, it's a it's a massage studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like a crank yeah. station or yeah. however you want
to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
you're working with other people, you're licensed, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is different than most cities in Canada being in Edmonton, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm fortunate to be in Edmonton, because I think Edmonton's a lot more progressive than a lot of other cities. In Edmonton, if you want to get into this, you have to take a course with the city of Edmonton. You do a criminal record check once a year, and then you get your license renewed once a year as well.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it helps them keep tabs on people more than anything, you know, or intervene when people are in more vulnerable situations.
Yeah, because it seems like it could be an industry that's like mm-hmm. obviously a little more crime stricken, or you get involved in maybe some situations that you don't necessarily find yourself wanting to be in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that happens. I've had a lot of really good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot that goes on out there that, you know, I don't want to be involved in, for sure, but unfortunately it goes on. So I think having the licensing involved does really help keep that to a minimum, or at least have people out there that you can, resources that you can access more easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it opens up a door too, because honestly, it's one of the oldest professions that has ever been on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's crazy for me, like, you hear many people talk about it, and it's mm-hmm. crazy to think that you can buy marijuana now legally,
mm-hmm.
you can buy liquor legally, but sex is still that one thing.
Yes.
That
it's amazing.
It's taboo for some reason.
It's amazing to me. It's like super repressive,
yeah.
you know, and it was not anything I ever, you know, woke up one day and just decided I wanted to get involved with the sex trade. It was a huge learning curve for me.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, when I started with some people who had been involved in the business for a long time, and I think they saw how deer in the headlights I was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were really super generous with me with advice, and you know, I started off on the right foot, you know, in the sex trade. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't, and human trafficking is a real thing.
Huh. 100%. And you're seeing it more and more, whether it be underage travel. Like, I mean, look at the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, like, that's a huge one to pop the lid off of.
Yeah.
Which, you know, shit rolls downhill and you start seeing more and more of these illegal rings getting busted every day.
Every day. And it's not, you know, it's not just that. It's, you know, different relationships where somebody, you know, you're under the guise of you're my girlfriend and you're going out to work.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Okay.
Things like that go on, which I think would fall into the category of human trafficking. And there's not a lot of, you know, for all the, you know, human trafficking talk, there's not a lot of like real definition out there, you know, or the conversation's not being had, you know, where it brings it down to a real human level, I don't think. As much as it should for all the talk of human trafficking. There's not a lot of particulars, you know?
Yeah.
Where you would recognize it as actual human trafficking.
It is, and especially, too, when it's it can be disguised as a business, too. Even with having the licensing and everything, it still can be disguised, I feel like.
Yeah. You know, I'm really lucky. Like, I've worked at two body rub studios, and both of them were really... huge advocates of you take charge of your life and you do something with this, you know, and really generous with resources and really encouraged people to get help when they needed help. So I was really fortunate. I can't speak about, you know, other studios or agencies or anything, but the two that I have been really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's been a good experience in a lot of ways.
It sounds like you're... overall experience has been so far positive. Has there been any negative experiences that you've had since being in this? Obviously, there has to be some.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's some, I think, you know, when I started, I didn't realize this, but there are people out there that sit on, you know, the different advertising sites and they recognize girls that have just started. And so unless you're getting... you know, some coaching along the way, you might not be super aware of what your boundaries are with things. And so, you know, when I started, I had guys that really pushed boundaries with different services, et cetera, that I don't offer, never have offered. And, you know, I had to develop those boundaries, you know, and actually a voice to communicate that, you know, these things aren't going to happen. And, you know, and then years down the road, you know, working in a studio and, seeing other girls starting, you see the same guys come in, right? So I didn't realize. Yeah, I was like, oh my God. So, you know, I'm happy to be able to give ladies advice that are just starting.
Yeah.
Like what to watch for, you know? So it's good. Yeah, it's good that way.
What would be something that you now from having the experience in, what's something that you could see being one of those kind of red flags immediately?
With a client?
Yeah.
You know, when I first started, I think guys trying to get more, you know, and there's little things like trying to get, you know, trying to play one girl off to the other. Like, this girl would do this service, you know, things like that. And, you know, trying to get more time out of you, trying to take you on uncompensated trips is another one, you know, trying to just use up your time talking, texting, etc., trying to take over your life, basically.
The old chase the nickel trick, hey?
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah,
yeah. Now you said you were going to university. Did you ever finish your degree?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I finished my degree. And
what did you get a degree in?
I got a degree in business, in economics.
Perfect thing for.
Yeah, exactly. I applied all the principles.
Are you strictly just doing prostitution right now, or do you have like other means of income as well?
I say I have a straight job.
I like
as
how
well.
You call it that.
Yeah, I call it a straight job. I have a straight job. I've got a couple other things on the go. So I'm a busy lady. So the escort does take a little bit of a back, little bit of a back burner now. But I'm still involved.
Do you find yourself leaning more, like, now that you've, you know, 10 years or 8 years, 8 years of doing it, are you kind of getting like tired of it? Do you feel like it's like getting old to you? Or
no, you know what? Strangely enough, like I have a lot of really great clients that mm-hmm. I've met over this time who are just awesome people.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's a length of time now where, you know, I've seen people, they share like all aspects of their life with me. And so they're more like client, I call some guys client friends, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just good to catch up with them a lot. And, you know, there's a bit of a social aspect there. I do some traveling, not lately because of COVID, with different clients and things.
Yeah.
So, you know, for a long time, it was like my social life almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think if you were to quit sex work at all, uh-huh. that you would continue the relationship of like a friendship or anything?
Yeah,
with those
you
people?
Know, yeah, there, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I have some really great friendships that have come of this. And I don't hesitate in saying that they're friendships at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, I've met some like super interesting people. You know, and just seeing like different phases of their lives. I fixed up a couple guys with ladies that I know, and they've gotten married and have awesome lives now. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
totally.
You're
it's
almost,
crazy.
What's that movie that Dane Cook was it? You remember where a chick would fuck him?
Uh-huh.
And then they would.
And then
find
the next.
It. Yeah, then they. Good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the female Good Luck
I'm
Chuck.
I'm the female version of Good Luck Chuck. Yeah. And most of the time, I'm like telling these guys, I'm like, you're going to take this friend of mine out for coffee or something like that, right?
You're
like,
very
I just.
Stern with it?
Sometimes, yeah. You have to be. Oh. So your gender sometimes, I think, needs to be somebody to be a little stern with them sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I find myself slacking too. Like, I get a little lazy at times.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a dude thing. I refer to everything like uh-huh. that is a dude behavior.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Sometimes you just need some direction.
Yeah. Like,
you know, parameters and direction and a point form list.
100%.
Yeah.
It'd be much easier, seeing that. Okay, be like, okay, my
yes.
day was planned out. But sometimes I'm just like, fuck, I don't want to do anything. And mm-hmm. I don't even mind that I've wasted
yeah.
2 days on the couch.
Yeah. No, totally. Sometimes I think guys, they might not 100% know what's good for them. And so, you know, some of my clients, like, they come to me for some assistance that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just... you know, I had one guy and he had been in this horrible relationship and he was like a decent looking guy. He was like fantastic. He was a very, very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he'd gotten rid of this girl that soaked him for all this money and was horrible. And he just needed like some confidence, I think. Right. And so we made this deal where I was like, he got on these dating websites and he'd come and see me and tell me about some lady that he met or whatever. And he'd show me a picture and tell me about her. And, you know, she didn't sound as good as I thought she should be
yeah.
for him. And I'd be like, she's not good enough. And so, and he was totally shocked by this, as I think a lot of guys are. I'm like, no, she's not good enough for you. Like, read this book, do this, do that, and raise your standards. And so sure enough, like a year and a half later, he met this great girl and they're married now and have a baby.
Time for a little ad. Oh, what's that? You tired of being a loser? You tired of being a little loser? Is that what I'm hearing? Perfect. You can head to dangercatshop.com. Use the code HACK20. Get 20% off your order. You'll slip into those threads and just be swarming with puss up to the ears. I'm talking about you'll be able to add about 69 horsepower onto your drinking. Well, how's that the case, Hack? How's that the case? Well, simple. You put on the tarp and you just burn diesel all night long. All night long. You might even eat an ass or two. Who knows? Oh, what's that? What's that? What's that, Hack? What's that? Oh, you like this podcast? You want an extra episode every week? Perfect. Well, head on over to patreon.com/dangercat69 and there is an extra episode of the Uncle Hack podcast waiting for you. There's probably a few you haven't even listened to, you cheap fuck. Fall off the wallet. Help your boy out. Let's produce better content with your money. What better deal do you want there? Hell, I can't think of a better deal. Could you? Yeah, you want to see your name roll in the credits? You want to see it down in the description down below? Perfect. Become a Danger Dong Patreon at patreon.com/dangercat69. Become a Danger Dong today. Don't be gay.
become a danger dong today. And we're not discrediting. If you're gay, that's all good. Especially lesbians. We like the same shit.
Oh, and he's very, very happy with his life.
Crazy. Are you still in contact with him to this day?
No, I'm not. No, oh, I'm not. Okay. But he let me know like this was going on and everything. And I haven't contacted him. No.
So
not
a lot of your it sounds like a lot of these like Johns, I guess to say, yeah. aren't always. It's not a no. sexual relation.
It's not always heart pounding porn action. No.
Yeah.
No.
Because I feel like
all.
That's a big misconception. Like it in is. My head, when I think of like prostitution yeah. and everything, it's like, okay, I'm going to pay for sex.
Yeah. And that, you know, that, of course, that's an aspect of it. But, you know, I have a lot of clients that, you know, they're working all the time. They don't have a lot of family around. They've had horrible relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like traumatized, right. I think. But they still need female human contact.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is more of a safe, you know, I'm not going to be stalking them sort of thing or trying to get on their bank account or anything, right? Like
yeah.
there's pretty clear boundaries with things.
Clear boundaries. And yeah. then there's like again, your time yeah. is valuable. So
yes.
that comes at a price.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because like, yeah, that was like one of the, I think, many misconceptions when it comes to prostitution mm-hmm. is that. It's like the hardcore porn is like you're doing...
Yeah.
these heinous acts.
Yeah, no, that's not been my experience with this. It might
really?
Be for some. No, it's mm-hmm. not. Like, I'm treated really well.
That's it's crazy. And I'm not saying that it'd be like
I
dickhead or anything.
No,
it's just like
I thought that's, like, that was my misconception.
Right.
You know, when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly people have those experiences out there, for sure. That hasn't been my experience. You know,
mm-hmm.
the majority. Like, I have a lot of really great clients that I'm really grateful for. You know, they're good people, good guys, you know, and maybe just have gone through a horrible divorce or just, you know, in the bad life situations, and they need female energy around them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Now, I find, like, your personality type, even, mm-hmm. like, you're very well-versed, you're well-spoken and everything, and
good.
You seem like you're very stern.
Sometimes.
What, yeah, is what I'm getting at.
Like a mother.
Yeah. So does that, like, does that translate into your, like, or I guess what I'm asking is that been your personality type this whole time, or is it, do you think, like, the sex work has, like, helped create
you know,
this
I
more
think
old person.
Yeah, you know, I think I've always been sort of stern. You know, I joke. I say I get a lot done in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But the sex work definitely helped me, and some of the ladies that I've been you know around, right, had an influence on really you know bringing your voice forward and being really congruent and clear
mm-hmm.
on what your intention is, and that will, you know, keep things. Keep boundaries clear, keep yourself clear with those boundaries and remaining congruent with yourself when you're interacting with your clients.
Yeah.
For me anyway, I'm always really clear on what my intention is with the relationship or I try to be, you know?
Yeah. Now, so like here's something that I've heard from my people is
yeah.
that it's legal to sell sex, but it's
mm-hmm.
illegal to buy it. Is
mm-hmm.
that true?
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, you can't, like, for me, I don't discuss services over text, phone, or email,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I never know who I'm talking to either.
Right.
So, and it's face-to-face, right? So you go to my website, it has, like, a really extensive menu, and people kind of figure out what they want to talk to you about, you
right.
know, but face-to-face. And I don't agree to anything until I meet the person.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of – so how do you vet somebody? So say somebody comes to your website or they email you or however they contact you. How are you – what's the vetting process?
They'll come with referrals from
oh.
other ladies
oh, okay.
or, you know, they'll – like I've had guys send me pictures of their ID. You know, we can meet in public first. You know, they'll tell me about themselves,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And – you know, they'll give me their LinkedIn, they'll give me their business website, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
this is
not shy to share some information.
Yeah, they're not shy to if they want to meet you, they're not shy to share information. And I mean, I don't use that for anything other than making sure they're maybe not a serial killer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Don't need another Robert Picton
no.
Situation.
No, not at all.
This, yeah, it's like we before in like the pre-interview, we kind of brought up the whole stepmom role play.
Oh, yes.
And this is this we both found quite odd for one because it to me I think it's such a weird thing, especially when you're watching pornography or anything and the title is like I fucked my stepsister or something like that. That's just such a weird thing because I do have stepbrothers and stepsisters.
Yeah.
And I can't fathom that idea or think of that as like any sort of.
Yeah, and it's very popular. Really? It's amazingly popular. And now I've hit the age kind of where I'm like, yeah, I could be your stepmom, mm-hmm. sort of, right? And it's funny because I have some other training in like a type of therapy role play sort of thing.
Okay.
And I didn't even realize that. And then I didn't even realize I could kind of use that mm-hmm. in this. And so I started it and it's been like super effective to the point that guys are like, yeah, I want to do this stepmom. And they're like emailing me the whole scenario and everything. And then you get there and I'll be like, you know, it's like five sentences as to what they're, you know, something similar to what their real stepmom would say. Right. And it's like game over. Like can't do anything. They see their stepmother and they're like, what have I done? So we've had those scenarios.
I can't think of that being something that I would like to imagine.
I don't know.
Me personally.
Like, you know, there's all kinds of things. Like there's
different strokes, different folks.
It's
I
different
guess,
strokes.
Right?
I've learned a lot about what people are attracted to, you know, and, you know, I joke. I'm like, I don't know what that is. And so I go and research it on Pornhub and I'm like, yeah, okay. I can do that. You know? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Come. Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you give us like an example?
I feel like you know, I think, asking. I mean, no, I like, there's just so much, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's so many different things. I think one, okay, so when I first started, mm-hmm. One of the ladies that I started with, she had been a professional dominatrix for a long time. She was really, she was really a dominant woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like super capable lady and like super smart and like so many great qualities about her. And so she was like, you know what? You're going to learn how to do a prostate massage. Like they were like these three women that I worked with, they were very like, this is what you're going to do, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to learn how to do this because it's worth a lot of money. Okay. And you're going to do it well. And I'm like total deer in headlights. Like already I'm thinking that I'm going to end up dead because like, you know, preconceived notions about prostitution, right? And mm-hmm. about these scenarios. And so I was like in this room and this woman's like showing me on a man how to do a prostate massage properly. You know, like just, I'm like, I didn't know this was a thing. You know?
I'm sorry.
I know.
The visual in my head.
I know.
It's funny to me.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It was like a woman with a finger up a man's
ass.
Oh,
yeah. Rubber glove on. And she's like going step by step through this. And, you know, I'm very grateful that she took the time to show me these things with like... Like, I'm like, there's no pride left, right? Like, there's just, I'm like, okay, thank you. But I didn't know it was a thing. Like, I was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know, like.
You're still wet behind the ears.
Totally. And I think these ladies, like, knew, like, hey, this girl's going to university. She's got two kids, like, and they'd been there before, right? They, mm-hmm. they'd been in tough situations. And so they really were generous with me, you know, and I'm grateful for that because it was very human first and, no judgment, like zero judgment, you know, and just very, very humble, you know, so it was good to have that experience. But like, I was like a garter belt, like, I don't know how to, like, I knew nothing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you, were you promiscuous at all when you were a youth or
anything? No, not particularly. No.
No, like nothing really excited you about sex or nothing like
I like, think I was just like stunned, you know, when I look back on it. Like mm-hmm. I didn't watch porn. I didn't, you know, like I am not from Alberta. I showed up here to go to university and I knew nothing about oil, like the oil patch, like nothing, you know. So it's been a huge... learning curve.
So you've done a whole shift in your life. Were you religious growing up?
No. I know people ask me that. And I'm like, no, I wasn't religious. Like, like there was nothing. I don't know. I was, you know, I was involved with sports. I was really, you know, I think a lot of people grow up to think that, you know, you grow up and you get married and have kids and that's it. And you stay with the same person and stuff. And my, you know, my life took a really, you know, a huge shift where I had to reevaluate, like, okay, what is a relationship? What's a functional relationship? And learn what a functional relationship was, you know, and what love was, you know, and respect, you know, in a relationship, because that was all stuff I didn't know. And had these two kids to raise and for, you know, a variety of reasons, like zero support in any way, shape or form. So, you know, in a lot of ways, the sex trade was really good for me. And I got contact with men. I like men, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a bonus.
It's win-win. You're getting...
I didn't have to go on these dating websites.
Which are atrocious nowadays.
They're wild. These friends of mine encouraged me to go on a dating website once and it resulted in me in 2 weeks, and then I had to change my telephone number and like just deactivate everything. Like,
yeah,
it was wild.
I did have some luck, I guess, to say when it came to Tinder. When I first moved up here, I hopped on Tinder.
Yeah,
and I don't mean like going on a like just fucking a bunch of women. I did end up meeting a girl, and we dated for Christ almost 4 years. I want to say 3-4 years.
Yeah,
and it was awesome. It was great, and so it does have its benefit, but it's like, you're really sifting, and it's a time waster. And I feel like you say, the human-to-human contact of, like, meeting someone in public, and then you're not sitting there texting and guessing their tone or any of that.
Yeah.
Like, me and you having this conversation, we're able to put together a lot more us as people than we would... Oh, being like, hey, Shannon, how are you?
Yeah.
And like, you'd be like, okay, this could be a fucking maniac on the
end. And I had two kids. I was going to university full time. You know, I was just trying to keep things together, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have time for that, you know? And I just didn't have time for it. So it was like 2 years that I hadn't been touched by a man or, you know, there were a couple indiscretions. But, and then I got involved with the sex trade. So it probably worked out well. You know, I became really popular really fast
because
I hadn't been touched by a man.
Really?
Yeah.
You would think it would be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Right?
You'd think
like very, and you figure like, you know what? I'm pretty good at this. I might as well get paid for it.
You know? Yeah, you would
but
think.
But then here you are, you haven't been touched by a man in 2 years.
I didn't even get asked out for a cup of coffee by a half decent guy in like
really?
A 2 year period. Yeah.
Was it just, you know, from these dating websites and all that?
I was only on a dating website for about 2 weeks. And, you know, I used to work with a lot of guys and they used to joke around and be like, hey, that guy hit on you. And I was just oblivious. Like, I didn't know that that's
so
what
essentially
was going.
You're saying you have a dude brain.
I guess so. I'm like, what?
Zipping by.
I had a lot on the go, right? I didn't notice these things.
Yeah, like, that does sound like a lot. When you're going to, you got kids to take care of at university.
Yeah.
I mean, going to school alone is just enough stress to cripple most.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It can be, yeah. But made it through, so that's all good. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I got a degree out of the whole thing.
Yeah, totally.
Now, when we did the pre-interview, you were telling me some crazy stories. And one I would love to talk about again is your first out call.
Oh, yes. Oh, my first out call, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess before we start to describe it, out call is outside of
Call, like I work independently now a lot, and I do work at one studio occasionally, right? But
okay.
I work independently a lot now just because it gives me a quite a bit more flexibility. And however, when I first started... One of these ladies that I started with, she'd been doing this for quite some time. And so one day she was like, okay, listen, you're going to do an out call with me.
Right.
All right. And we're going to go and see this guy that I know. And he wants us to stay for like 2 or 3 hours or something like that. Right. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like completely nervous, like totally, like, I'm like, this is so far out. And she's like, you need to calm down and just chill out. Right. And I'm like, oh my God. And so.
Game day.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh. So anyway, I go to this motel. So it's like, you know, what you would imagine in one of these movies, right? You're like a motel
in
Alberta.
Yeah. You're
you know,
describing exactly what everybody's
thinking.
What
everybody's totally thinking, right? And I'm with this woman and she doesn't tell me too much about this, right? And anyway, we go and see this guy and And he's an older gentleman. He's worked in the oil patch for quite some time. And I think he did a lot of partying in his day. And anyway, this like he's drinking and he's smoking. And anyhow, she showed up and she was like, I've bought you some new lingerie. And I was like, okay. And anyway, he wanted us to all wear matching lingerie, including himself. And so,
maybe
you know,
this was my grandfather.
Maybe it was, you know, you never know, you know, you never know. And anyway, he had like the super masculine job and all these tickets and everything, but he liked to wear lingerie with escorts.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she hands me, anyway, I'm helping him put these stockings on, and it's very awkward because we have matching garter belts and things like that.
The guy likes to be sexy from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, she hands me a beer and she's like, drink this. And I'm like, okay. And I thought, this is odd. And so I drank this beer and she's like, you know, it's towards the end of the session. And I'm like, this is all, and I can't even talk because I'm so nervous with this whole scenario. I've never seen a man in women's clothing before, except on TV maybe, right? And you know, I'm trying to make conversation with him a little bit, but I can't really talk. And I'm trying to take all of this in, and there's cigarette smoke, and she's talking away to him. And I'm like looking at her like, how do you get used to this? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And then she's like, you know, talking me up to him. Right. And mm-hmm. And then she's like, and Shannon's going to urinate on you. I've got a special treat for you. Shannon's going to urinate on you this time. And I'm like, I'm going to what? You know, like, uh-huh. You know, and she hadn't told me any of this. But anyway, she's like, took me into the bathroom. She's like, this is how it's going to go down. Okay. And she's super stern with me. And, mm-hmm. You know, so she got it all set up and places him in the bathtub. And I'm standing over him. She's like, you're going to put your foot here. You're going to put your foot here and you're going to urinate all over him. And I'm like, I can't quite comprehend this, right? And so she sets it all up, and I'm like, "That's like the urine is not going to happen." Like, so she turns on a tap, and she's like, "Focus on the water, Shannon, and we're not leaving until this is done." And so anyway, this all happens, and he's pretty drunk, and he's still wearing this lingerie, and she turns on the shower and cleans him up. And I'm just like, I don't, you know, I still, even thinking back, I'm like, this is the strangest situation I've ever been in. Like, I can't tell anybody about this because it's so unusual,
yeah.
You know, compared to like previous experience.
I pissed on a man last night.
Yeah. And it's people, a thing.
How was your Saturday, Shannon?
I know. And I was like, oh my God. And you know, like, that's a common thing. It's, you know, people want that service, you know, so.
It's probably more common than you think, you know.
It's
what I
a
mean?
Lot more common than anybody would think. And, you know, quite honestly, I have to say that when guys get a hold of me for some of these more kind of extreme services, I'm kind of honored that they trust me mm-hmm. to do that, because it's probably something they're not getting at home, or you're not going to find that often. And it's a safe environment, like, you know, and so I'm kind of. You know, I'm kind of honored that somebody would trust me with that sort of thing. And it's not ever going to go further than me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that part's kind of cool in some ways.
Yeah, because that's probably a tough thing to bring up to, you know, your wife of 25 years, isn't it? I would say.
That you want a good fisting or something, right?
Listen, honey.
Yeah.
I'm watching you stuff the turkey and I'm thinking to myself, that would be great on me. And
exactly.
How do you bring that up?
Exactly.
It's the holiday season. We're in lockdown. Let's get a little weird.
Exactly. So, yeah, some, you know, I think about my exes, and I don't think they'd bring that up to me.
No.
You know? No, I don't think so. You know?
Maybe now. Once they find...
If they knew I was Shannon Sweet, maybe now.
Maybe
but
now. They're like,
at
this
the time,
whole time.
This whole time, I could have dressed like a woman.
Yeah.
You
this,
know?
This
all
lady
day.
That I've been dating for all these years.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. The mother of my children.
Yeah.
You know?
This onion, if I would have just peeled it back a few more layers.
Yeah.
We could have made this work.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been satisfied.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. Yeah, it seems like that is something that you'd have to almost reach out. And it's almost in a way, like, I could see why dudes do that, because it's like, I don't need her looking at me like a
freak.
Fucking wingnut.
Yeah. And I think from what I've kind of seen, like, there's a lot of really unhappy relationships out there.
I can only imagine. And this is probably, this whole pandemic and lockdown is probably just bringing all out. Hey?
Like, I think it is. I think there's a lot of people. I definitely the first, I noticed a lot of different friends of mine, stuff that were in different relationships for a long time. They ended relationships towards the end, right?
Yeah.
And just really reevaluated some of their life decisions.
Oh, big time. I mean, when you got a lot of time to sit and think, I think.
And look at another person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And really get to know them for who they truly are. Because it's easy. Once you get distracted by day-to-day things, even your fucking cell phone can distract you from.
Totally.
So much. And then once that's taken away, and once you have to sit and just like
with yourself, and really think about what you're doing and where you're going.
Mm-hmm. I think this is this whole pandemic thing has put a lot into perspective for a lot of people.
I think so. I agree with you. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So it's interesting. And then they've also have time to go to my website and different things, and then next thing you know, they're calling. You know, so
100%. Yeah, like all it takes is for one click, and you're like, well, for fuck me, this whole time I could
have been tied to a bed and
had the shit beaten out of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of trying to convince the wife, like, hey, listen,
to hit me harder.
Yeah,
you know,
where Shannon can come in and give you the beatdown of a lifetime.
Yes, yes, if you'd like, and then use some coconut oil on you afterwards. You know,
soothe the wounds, and then give you a pat on the ass, and
away you go.
Yeah, a tootsie pop, and off you go.
Back into your life, back into your day.
Do you do any of that? Do you do any of the dominatrix kind of stuff?
I do a bit. I've had some training by a dominatrix, and I have a male escort friend in Calgary, and we've known one another, it's very strange, in another life, and then, you know, met one another again in the sex trade, which is very unusual. And
so you knew him outside?
I knew him outside, and we didn't really realize that until later on in another part of the country.
Isn't it insane?
Totally insane.
Like, you know, me and you were having this conversation as you, as Shannon Sweet. Maybe we've interacted with you as your normal being
somewhere,
sometime. You know, that's insane. Like, who knows?
It was, and it was like a remote area of Canada, too. Oh, wow. Like, very remote. And very strange. And we didn't put it together, right? And anyhow, he got a hold of me, and I have some formal training in like types of body based therapy and things, and so he knew
that. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. What do you mean by like body based therapy?
Like just different energy release. Okay. You know, using like different types of breath work and so they're kind of holistic therapies.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe a little hippie almost, but
I kind of make fun of that stuff.
Yeah, I know. You know, so like some Eastern medicine with regards to like where energy is in the body. And so he knew that about me, and he's a dom, and he really wanted to do this training called a bondage training, right? So he got a hold of me, and he was like, Shannon, I found this training, and, you know, I've asked some other people, and would you commit to it? Like, this woman needs, you know, she needs commitment of two people before she'll come out from Toronto. I have these dates booked, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I didn't look it up. I didn't look into it or anything. I just trusted his opinion. It was, kind of a high price point to do this training, but I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I, committed to doing it, and he was all excited. And so I ended up doing this training. And when I met this woman, I'm like, holy smokes, this is the real deal. Like, she's lifestyle dom. Like, she lives this life. It was like, very serious training for, and so it's a type of like bondage, like a light bondage. But the person is bound to a table, and there's... it's a sensory deprivation experience. And so there's all kinds of different implements that are used on people. So it totally heightens your body awareness. And yeah, so anyway, I got to do this, and part of it was an ongoing training component. So I've gotten to meet different people who are certified in this from all over the world. So it's very interesting, you know, and they pull out different tools that they've, you know, and talk about different scenarios and this and that.
When you say tools, what do you mean by that? Like ropes?
Different ropes. The tape like, and shit. Yeah, like we'll have like really high-end people who are involved in like rope work in San Francisco, you know, in the Leather District and, you know, that do courses in the States. And so I have access to all these awesome, awesome resources, right? And they'll mm-hmm. come on and like, they, you know, they know somebody that's in it and this is how you tie this and do that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's different types of like, you know, the demonstrations of rope work or like just different sensory deprivation sort of things.
Like I'm thinking like the tanks. Are you thinking like the those rooms that are basically silent?
With bondage, people are bound to a table. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely different like bondage aspects of it. So they're bound to a table. They have a headset on and and their eyes are covered with a mask.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so they can't really move that well, and so then you use a bunch of different tools on them.
I feel like somebody like you hear about more than anything mm-hmm. is like somebody that's always in like a position of power.
Really, yeah,
likes
totally.
To be in these very
vulnerable.
Yeah, very vulnerable positions
Where they can just hand things over.
Is that
over.
What you've noticed?
I've noticed that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot where they can just let, or they have like incredible pressure in their life and they can just hand things over for a few hours.
Let somebody else. Here.
Yeah.
I just need you to fuck me up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's funny because it heightens different. It gets people out of their brains and into their bodies. So mm-hmm. they become really aware of what's going on.
Have you ever done one of those sensory deprivation tanks before?
No, but I've been invited to. So
I did one when this all kind of started. I did one last winter.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
Is it? Yeah. I think they're closed right now.
Yeah, they definitely are. This was right before the pandemic hit. Yep. And me and the missus went and did one. And it was crazy because it's like you are just left there with your thoughts. And if you can like wipe it all away, it's the mm-hmm. most relaxing time. Like we did one for an hour. And by the minute 15, you're going crazy. But if you start to figure out your own mm-hmm. noodle for a
surrender.
Second, yeah. And you're just like, just relax. And mm-hmm. finally, like, it helped tremendously.
Really? So it was super relaxing?
Yeah. So I guess to say that's probably similar in a sense to that, except there's a little bit more added where you're almost focusing more on body parts.
Yeah. Focusing more on body parts and focusing on like I'll use different, different textures, different temperatures, different,
Is that to like excite the nerves more
and it's so the brain, they're trying to figure out like what is that going across my skin, stopping like where they are in their and what is going across my skin and, you know, staying with that and then sort of anticipating the next thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And it's like a reset for a lot of people.
Do you find like enjoyment of doing that too? Or is it more so just a service that you offer?
I've done it a few times. For me, you know, I think it takes me a little bit to get out of my head because I don't let clients tie me up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's never been something that I offer at all. And
because I feel like that would be a huge no-no. And there's that's a trust thing.
Especially
when it comes to sex, even if it's with your like partner or your girlfriend, boyfriend, when you're tying somebody up, you're in like the most vulnerable state you possibly could be in.
Totally. Totally. So, you know, I have a lot of clients that, you know, they've wanted to try bondage stuff and I've seen them before and they're like, I want to try it with you. I want to do this. I want to try. So, you know, fortunate mm-hmm. that way, you know, I have that.
Do you find like yourself in a place where you find enjoyment more so than they might at times? Like when you have a client that comes in, do you find like maybe I enjoy this client more than maybe he enjoys me?
I genuinely like a lot of my clients. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do. And so there's some that I really like them as people, mm-hmm. you know. And if you mean like, you know, if I like maybe had a crush on a client or something.
More so like you find more enjoyment out of
being around them.
Yeah. Maybe it's the sex or it's just the relationship. And it's almost like you feel like you're robbing them almost in like, no, you need to put that into like clear context.
I like to think it's mutual, you know? And probably some, like I'm probably a little zany, right? And some of the stuff I talk about is, you know, a little out there for some guys. But I have, I have a lot of regular clients, so they seem to come back, you know? Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't, then that's okay. You know, it has happened like, maybe once or twice in like 8 years, I've run into somebody where I'm like, wow, I'd go out with that guy. Like, I probably enjoyed the session, like, way more than they... And then I was like, wait a minute, Shannon. This guy's like, he doesn't want a girlfriend. You know, like, mm-hmm. get it together.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
get a hold of yourself. Are you ovulating or what? You know,
yeah, like... that's kind of what I was asking.
Yeah.
Finding yourself in a position of where
you're... keep things in perspective. Yeah, you've got to, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah, you got to keep things in perspective. So it doesn't... yeah, and I'm like, it's a rule. Mm-hmm. Right. And it hasn't happened that often, you know, and I think probably like there's something in the, you know, going on with the moon and, you know, my hormones.
Oh,
or something.
You're a moon person.
No, I'm not. Not too much.
Not too much. I do get enjoyment out of that. I think it's me and my buddy Tanner always make fun of that kind of.
Really?
And I think that there maybe has something. There is like, obviously, if it's changing the tide and everything.
Yeah.
The gravitational pull, because let's be honest, I remember full moons being at the bar and it was completely insane.
Yeah, totally. I think police calls go up and EMS calls go up at a full moon, don't they? And like emergency rooms, they know. Like,
there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but it's probably there's something.
Yeah. Yeah,
Is funny. That's hilarious. I won't make fun of you for any of that. Getting back to almost like the crazier stories of all this, like what's something that is very vivid in your mind?
And,
like,
you know,
something that would really kind of shocked even you to be in that situation.
Okay, so all right. So I when I started, I don't know how long I was doing it for, and I had this client, and one day he made this proposal to me to just be his exclusive girlfriend. He'd pay me to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Travel with him and things like that. So I'm like, that sounds like a great deal, right? Like, I'm going to make, you know, good enough, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I did this, we had a little bit of stuff in common, which was nice. And, you know, it was a challenging relationship to say the least, which is probably why he was in the position of paying a woman to be his girlfriend, you know? But anyhow, he had it in his mind that he wanted to do a relationship workshop for, like, not for a weekend. This was, like, 5 or 6 days.
Like one of those ones that you, like, fly away with?
We went to this resort. Right. There was 8 other couples there. And I couldn't get away easily. Okay, I have to emphasize that. So anyway, I was like, yeah, sure, which is something that I do. I say yes to things without researching them, like this bondage deal, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know.
You're a yes woman.
I'm kind of like, yeah, it's life experience. Why not? You're going to be on your deathbed and wishing you would have tried this, right? So I'm like,
sure. I'm glad somebody else lives their life.
I know.
Like,
and then you get there and it's like, what did I say yes to? Like, holy shit. You know, like, next thing you know, you're peeing on a, you know, on a guy in a bathtub wearing, you're all wearing matching lingerie, you know? And so I was like, this guy's paying me a lot of money. I, you know, gone to different U.S. cities with him. And I was like, yeah, okay. He wants to do this relationship workshop. I'll do this. I didn't think it would be this intense, but anyway, I get there and probably, and they're not short days. They were like 9 or 10 hours a day. And I don't, it was Shannon Sweet's hell, okay? And not only was I with somebody that quite honestly, I didn't particularly like, because he may not have been the most stable person on mm-hmm. the face of the planet, which is fine. Like, I can, you know, like, it is what it is, right? And yeah. I like to think I have quite a bit of patience, and that it is what it is, and I'm pretty kind. And but anyway, I where this place was located, it was really hard to leave. Like, physically, it was hard to get to an airport, to get on an airplane, to, like, run away.
So it's like a
forever.
Bora Bora or some
sort
shit.
Of, yes. Yeah. And so it was involved. And so anyway, I was there with him and seven or eight other couples who'd been together substantially longer than we had been. And it was like, you know when you have these life realizations where, like, the sky opens up and light comes down and yeah, it's like everything is very, very clear from that point forward, you know, mm-hmm. like if I ever had any questions about what type of relationship I would not ever have or tolerate in my existence,
it's this one.
It's the people that are in here, you know. It was all these men that were beaten down, could never please their wives, and this was, they were coming to, and the wife, this is totally, like, one woman was complaining, her biggest complaint was is that she had, why do I have to continuously remind him to shovel snow when it snows?
That was
the complaint. That was the issue as to, and this poor man was, like, completely defeated.
God.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
I can't imagine.
It was absolutely horrible. And, because I was like, it was really clear to me there that you could see all these control dramas going on. Mm-hmm. And then I'm with this guy that I think was trying to, like, get me to, like, not, like, get me to commit to him so I'd be his actual girlfriend and maybe he wouldn't have to pay me anymore or something. I don't know what was going on there. But this went on for, like, 6 days, and it was literally, like, 10 hours a day. And I was like, if I get out of here, like, a lot, like, I will commit my life to really looking into what a functional relationship is, because mm-hmm. I don't ever want to be any of these people in this room. You know, and I had this guy, you know, in the whole thing, like the guy that I was with went through like these ups and downs, and like I was kind of detached from the situation. Like, I was still in the role of an escort, right? But
yeah.
I was like watching him go up and down emotionally. And
in these six days,
really? It was, and we were working with a counselor, and I was like, and then the question comes up as to where did you guys meet? You know, and so he then outed me to the counselor and the facilitators of this, not to the other members of the group, but
of being an escort.
So I'm like, this makes it really difficult. Like, where do we go from here? You know,
obviously, this relationship is very clear.
It's very clear and became more clear as the week went on. So that was a very strange situation that I had gotten myself into. And it was like when you take, like, a hallucinogenic,
yeah.
You can't stop the trip.
No.
You know? Then that's what it was like.
You're locked in.
I was locked in.
Dang.
I was locked in. It was a living hell.
Man, oh man. And it's so funny to think, like, just you sitting there and listening to these women being like, every time he won't shovel the snow. And
he's having an emotional affair, you know? And I'm like, well, you're not very nice to him. Yeah. Like, I don't, quite honestly, I'd be having an emotional affair if I had to live with you, you know, with some lady on, you know, 5,000 miles away.
100%. Do you find, like, now seeing this side of the world
mm-hmm.
and being from the line of your mm-hmm. like, line of work and the men that come to you and, like you said, like, a lot of them are coming to you for this, like, emotional kind of, like, put me together a little
yeah.
bit.
Like some contact.
Yeah, a little yeah. bit of contact. And it's a positive experience at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And now when you find that what these dudes are kind of, like, looking mm-hmm. for and what they – I feel like it's a reoccurring thing.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself knowing a lot more about men being from the line of work that you're in now?
I think so. I'm definitely, you know, when I initially started this, I had incredible amounts of shame. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a shame around being a single parent. You know, I had shame for being, like, a single woman, mm-hmm. you know, And I had a lot of shame working in the sex trade, you know, and really? That was, yeah, lots of shame. And
where do you think that like shame came from?
I think it was just, you know, conditioning from society, yeah. You know, that like, you know, hookers are this way and hookers do this and they have no morals and they have no ethics. There's no integrity there. No one's going to want you after you've been in the sex trade, mm-hmm. et cetera. And those were all beliefs that, you know, had been not, it had been indirectly instilled, mm-hmm. you know, and, Anyway, I somehow, you know, shortly after, like within a year of working in the sex trade, I was accepted to go to an ayahuasca retreat. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. And this is I'm somebody that's like,
partying.
Oh yeah. I'm like, naproxen, I don't know if I need it for a headache. Like I'll just go without, you know? And, uh-huh. and then I went and tried and spent 4 days doing the most powerful hallucinogenic in the world. Right.
I can't even hate on you because I'm the same way. My mom used to laugh because I wouldn't take Tylenol. I'm very against ibuprofen and all that.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, and I was, I'm cutting you off horribly
I'm
on page with you with that. I was like, oh, there's always a natural remedy for
something. Yeah, totally, totally.
So I'm like, I can't shit on the hippie stuff too
much.
But then again, I would be an idiot. I'd do all these natural remedies and all this. And they go pile about 4 grams of coke into me in a weekend. You know, like it just, that's my balance.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. One of the things... you know, when I had to fill out all this paperwork and do an interview before I could go and do this ayahuasca ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was this, by the way?
This one was in BC and near Vancouver. So
right.
I drove from here to Vancouver and they asked me like, they vet you pretty hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know, how many days do you want to do? And I'm like, well, how many days can I do? And they're like, well, you can do 4. The ceremony's 4 days, you know. But some people do 2. Or I'm like, oh, sign me up for all 4. So
go hard or go home.
Go hard or go. And I'm like, I don't really know.
Leave no prisoners.
With ayahuasca. Yeah. And so, you know, I'd watch some videos on it. And these different friends of mine who had done this before, I'd asked some questions. So I thought I was pretty prepared, right? And anyway, I go by myself and I do ayahuasca for 4 days. And in all of the stuff that I saw doing ayahuasca, one of the things that was addressed was the sex trade. And there were visions.
They addressed it?
Internally something addressed it,
right.
You know? And it showed me, you know, the balancing of masculine and feminine energy. And it just, I think how I interpreted it was that it became really clear that, you know, we need one another, you mm-hmm. know, to balance things out, right? And it was from there that, you know, my work in the sex trade just became way more, you know, fluid. And No pun intended. Fluid is a good thing. Fluid is a very good thing. But
sorry,
no pun intended.
I saw my opportunity and I shot.
And, you know, I've done a couple other ayahuasca ceremonies since then that kind of showed me some different things with regards to relationships and relationships with men, for sure. And, you know, it was really helpful, I think, in my life. And mm-hmm. it's probably one of the reasons I've been able to stay in the sex trade as long as I have been, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, carrying that weight of shame and like a lot of people do it and they don't take any necessary steps, you know. Like even a year and a half ago, I was going through probably the shittiest time of my life, even mm-hmm. though the perception of this whole Danger Cats thing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like I was in a good place, but mentally mm-hmm. I was just the worst I've ever been. I was doing a ton of drugs.
Yeah.
I was being very toxic to myself
mm-hmm.
and not taking charge and command. And so like it's something like that to have it put into perspective of like, hey, what I'm doing isn't wrong.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong. I shouldn't be mm-hmm. shameful about it.
Yeah.
That definitely cleared a lot of smoke for you then. Hey?
It did. And, you know, I initially went because I'm always doing these things. I always joke with my kids. Like, I don't get up in the morning intending to ruin your life. Okay, I'm trying. And, you know, they seem to be abnormally well-adjusted members of society. So something has gone pretty right, unless I'm completely off base and, you know, in denial about how rotten my children are. But I initially went to, like, you know, get some clarity around raising children and this and that. And then I and no one, or, you know, I have like three friends outside of the sex trade that know what I do, you know, and
so, is that because, like, was that initially because, like, you felt that shame and all that?
Yeah, totally. I didn't want anybody knowing. I didn't think I was going to stay in it as long as I have. And also, I didn't want to make it a big political, like, woman empowerment thing. Like, I just didn't. I didn't want to do that. And also, I just didn't want to have these conversations with people who were in relationships where they were really sexually suppressed and, you know, these assumptions that it's, like, really shady, like, undercover sort of thing, and what are your clients like and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like, I feel like that conversation would be like when you go back to your hometown.
Yeah.
It's that constant, like, small talk that, you know, you just have over and over, over and over again.
Yeah.
So I can see why you don't
want... And, like, my clients, like, I'm, you know, I'm ultra sensitive to their privacy, like, big time.
Like, if you've seen them in public, you're just kind of like, I won't say hi.
Yeah, like some...
Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it is. It has happened. And, you know, there was one guy I knew and he, you know, he was single and on and on. Great guy, like great sense of humor. And anyway, I ended up at the airport. I was going somewhere. His gate was right next to mine and I saw him. He saw me and he didn't know if he should approach me or not. And I had my work phone with me and I could see he was all... Like, I could... I knew he wanted to talk to me. You know, and he was cool with that. And so I just texted him and then I had a coffee with him and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I go and I have so many old regular clients now that, you know, there's guys that I know, like they would be friends with me even if I wasn't providing this service, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I go places with clients and stuff too. So, you know, it's part of the...
Part of the gig.
Part of the gig now, yeah. Relatively normal, I guess.
Yeah.
Normal looking.
Because it's it's a taboo industry at the
end
of the
day. So taboo.
For what reason, I don't know. Because, like, to me, I say, like, I'm all for it. Like, the whole, I've made it very clear, I'm all for the OnlyFans or the prostitution. Yeah. My funny story, I've told this on the podcast a couple of times. Yeah. My grandfather brought a prostitute to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been to funerals.
Yes, that's what it was. I wanted to bring up. Like, my grandpa didn't even bat an eye about it either. And
they probably got along great.
Yeah. And it was funny to me because, like, that was, like, my first initial reaction of somebody in sex work. And I didn't really, like, clue in right away.
No.
It was just like, yeah, my grandpa just doesn't give a shit.
No. He probably genuinely liked her. I have clients that would probably love to do that.
He's a massive fan of prostitution.
Yes.
He's like, he doesn't care. He goes, yeah, I don't give a shit.
No.
He's like, so it's like instilled like this open-mindedness since a young age.
Yeah.
And like, I thank him for that because he's always been like, ah, fuck, who cares? None of these fuckers, what, they're going to come to your funeral, cry about it? No, who gives a shit? You live your life.
I might know your grandpa.
Yeah, there's good. That's why I joked earlier there. Yeah. Well, you were probably peeing on him.
Yeah, probably. having a beer with him.
Yeah, after. More than, and you know what? The old fucker would just say, she definitely pissed on me. He wouldn't give a shit. He would love it.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks it's like what I'm doing. He's been like the biggest fan of like, I've been like that.
It's awesome.
Yeah. He like, anytime I have troubles, I always call him. And like, he tells me all these stories. And like, again, he's a very passionate man, and he's a womanizer at the same time. So he's a complicated human, but once you get to know him, you definitely, like, it's funny. So, like, prostitution is, like, we've talked about it, and he goes, who gives a shit?
Yeah, totally.
Why do you care? He goes, what the fuck do you care?
Yeah, I know. I didn't have to. I worked for a studio in Fort Mac, and I go up there once in a while. And one of the things that you had to do when you initially go is you have to do an interview with the RCMP.
Okay.
And they sort of vet you to make sure you're not being trafficked or, you know, you're not under the influence or whatever. And they also ask you if you'd like a hair sample, to use a hair sample in case you go missing. Because missing prostitutes are, you know, it does happen, right? Like, I think...
I think there's
21 unsolved mysteries or unsolved cases in Edmonton or more, including there was a lady that was murdered you know, within the last 3 or 4 months, I think. Mm-hmm. And they got the guy, thank goodness. But unfortunately, she was murdered. And so, it was really, this is the real thing. And, I had to go. I was instructed, you go to the front desk, you ask for such and such, whoever, you know, from RCMP officer, right? And the lady at the front was like, well, what are you here for? And I'm like, well, I'm going to be working here in Fort Mac. And well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm an escort and I'm working for this establishment or whatever. And she totally looked down on me, you know? And I talked to the lady that owned the studio and I'm like, this is my experience. And the woman kind of gave me a hard time, right? And she was like, you know what? When she's paying your bills, then she can have something to say, you know, 100%. About that. And she's like, until if they have anything to say, if they can't say it to your face and it's not worth shit, you know, do what you do. Tell them to go.
Fuck them.
Go fuck themselves.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's Shannon Sweet's favorite thing. It's like, oh, go fuck yourself. You know? Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. A little confrontation never hurt nobody.
No, exactly. You have to check it out with people until they just, and then they eventually just leave you alone. Right?
Yeah. Because if you would have said something and got in her face right there, she would have like cowered instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But there was definitely some judgment going on, which I like to joke and translate into, I know you wish you were in my position.
100%.
Honey.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you kidding me? Like the moment you said male escort, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I could do that.
I wonder. Throw an ad up and let's see what happens.
I imagine that I would like to think that there is a market for this. But I
this
could
gift.
Also. Yeah, this gift that God gave me.
Yeah, you know, my male escort friend, it took a while for, he's a straight male escort. And he had some issues initially trying to communicate to women that it was okay to contact him, you know, that he wasn't a creep and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I joke that he's a creep, but he's not a creep. not, you know, any particular sort of creep, but and so now things are up and running for him.
It's like everybody always jokes about being a porn star or even a male escort, but I feel like it would be really fucking hard.
It is. It's not. It's a lot of work.
100%.
It's a lot of work. There's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes.
Oh, man. Like, sure. On the outside, it looks shiny and bright and being like, I would love to fuck for a living. But then, like, it'd be.
You know, there's a woman that I worked for, and she met her husband doing this. And they are, I'm really grateful to have that example, I guess, of what I think is a pretty high functioning relationship, right? And I think he became a male escort for a while, right? And I talked to him about this, and I mean, they adore one another. They're completely respectful of one another. They're lovely human beings, and they work together on, you know, they've created a great life, and from what I've seen, and it's really, really nice to see. And I think for a while he was a male escort, right? And I remember talking to him about it, and he was like, this is so hard. is so hard, so much work,
You
know, and just, you know, keeping everything together in your head, you know, and being like passionate towards another human being and non-judgmental and like looking at yourself, like, why would I judge this person for this? And keeping your own mental health.
Yeah. Just keeping it kosher the whole time would be.
Yeah, totally.
Because even there's sometimes where people say something and I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? And like, you can't do that. You're supposed to be. You know, like, I guess maybe you can be in
your
circumstances.
There's ways to phrase things.
Yeah. Way to phrase it in a more positive manner.
Yeah.
But even like, man.
Yeah.
Coming to you for, you know, like, hey, be a little more stern with me. Get my shit together. What do I got to do? Why do I feel like I'm fucking up?
Yeah. And you know, and like a guy's.
Shannon comes in, puts the fucking hammer.
Well,
down.
I just see things and I'm like, listen, tell me if I'm overstepping my boundary, you know, overstepping here. However, you know, this is what, and can I share this with you? Like, I ask permission first, right? And I'll share what I've seen, you know, or observe. about their lives. And you know what? There's guys that take that information, they take notes, they go out into the world, they start working on their lives, and I'll see them, you know, a couple months later, and, you know, they give me an update on where they are, and they just don't have that, you know?
Yeah. And even for someone like yourself, like mm-hmm. you said, you have like therapy courses and all that kind of background. So it's like you take this a step further than
I do.
What some girls may.
Yeah. And I, you know, I realized at the beginning of this and after, you know, some kind of shitty relationships where I'm like, I got to be more conscious about who I have in my life in an intimate as a boyfriend, right?
Yeah,
or around my children, or around me. And, you know, and I realized, I'm like, I don't have any idea as to what a functional relationship is. You know, like that's never been demonstrated anywhere. You know, there was some sort of quasi, and then I look back on it and I'm like, that was kind of fucked up. Like, mm-hmm. that's my example. Like, no wonder I ended up in some fucked up situations with men, right? Like,
yeah.
And so I really, the last several years for sure, and it started with ayahuasca, where I really started looking at what is a functional relationship and my part in that, you know, in mm-hmm. interacting with men, you know, and working on myself and getting my own shit sorted out,
right.
you know, and not using a man as a therapist or expecting them to fix your problems. Like, no, you got to have somebody that you process with outside of that relationship and bring your best self forward,
right.
you know.
Do you find like... now that you've been like in the industry for mm-hmm. a minute now and you're looking and you're seeing like the culture around sex now mm-hmm. is probably it's changed drastically over the years. And
yeah.
like it's more glamorized and
yeah.
everything. And like, and like yourself, like you're a very put together woman
yeah.
that has an understanding of an emotional side. There's like a deeper connection more so mm-hmm. than just paying somebody to come fuck me.
Yeah.
Now, with like the way the world is changing and everything, and you're viewing it now as like with experience mm-hmm. in the industry, and you're seeing like what's kind of happening now with social media and mm-hmm. all this, do you find like it's better or worse?
I think with both males and females, I think there's a lot more of a disconnect as to what actual connection is mm-hmm. and respect of one another. You know, and I
yeah.
see a lot of men that are beaten down. I see a lot of women that are beaten down.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm seeing it on social media more and more and more.
Yeah.
It's just like people airing their bullshit rather than like
yeah.
trying to fix it themselves.
Yeah. Or, work on yourself first. Mm-hmm. You know,
it seems like it's just an easy outlet and
yeah.
a short Band-Aid on it's like a Band-Aid on a broken bone where you just like you throw this out there like
yeah.
on TikTok or whatever, Instagram.
TikTok.
TikToks. Yeah, that tire fire of an app. But I see so many times it'd be like it's like some guy crying and it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my wife left me. And it's a Band-Aid on a broken bone because you get these thousand comments being like, you can get through it. And
yeah.
some people can use that in a positive way and
yeah.
then like forward their life. But I think
mm-hmm.
like for me personally, I view it more as like it's a Band-Aid on a broken bone.
It
almost,
is. Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, like sometimes I think people get into these relationships where, you know, there's been a trauma before or
mm-hmm.
something when you did. And then you end up with somebody who's treating you like garbage
yeah.
in a garbage relation. It's a garbage relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like I've said to some of my clients when they bring me pictures of ladies that they've met off wherever, you know, and I'm
mm-hmm.
like, she's not good enough. Like,
yeah.
and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, why would they ever tolerate this? Like, they're a pretty quality guy,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then you look into, you ask them about, you know, what happened before, you know? And you see these guys, like, work on themselves, like, start resolving some of that stuff and feeling better about themselves. They would never tolerate that ever
yeah.
again, you know, moving forward. But it's you know, just like the games, right? Like these games that people are playing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're kind of lame once you can catch on to it. There's no charge there.
No.
For me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Even like for myself, it's like I'm getting older. Like
yeah.
the flashy objects just like don't.
The shiny objects.
Yeah. It doesn't click for me. Like,
yeah.
It's just like there's much more.
Yeah.
And it may sound like gay to say or
no.
so to speak, but like, you know, as you get older, when you're a young guy, man, all you're thinking about is fucking drinking, hanging out with your bros
yeah.
and stuff. But as you get older, like things slow down
yeah.
a little bit more.
I
you
think
kind of soak it in.
Yeah. And I think at the bottom of it, even just going and, you know, the act of finding an escort, going and having sex and everything. Mm-hmm. I think at the bottom of all of that, there's that need for connection.
Yeah.
Right? And and I think that, that drives a lot. And people aren't aware that that's actually what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, that and with women, it's like if I'm shiny enough, I'm going to draw them in and they're not going to leave this shininess, you know, and there's going to be connection there.
Yeah. Like you strike me more as like a woman that is going to be like your clients are more like they're men looking for, rather than these coked out idiots that are like 3:30 in the
morning. Even the coked out idiots are looking for connection. A lot of the time.
You are. Yeah, that's a good point because like even it's like I need like something.
Yeah, because I've lay there like been hired for like 6 hours just to lay there and rub somebody's back.
Really?
And have the coke dealer show up. Wow. Oh yes,
that's crazy.
I'll put that one on my resume. You know, just
everything's gonna be okay.
Everything's gonna be okay. Yeah, life is gonna be okay.
Yeah, that is a good point. I've never really thought about that because it's usually you're railed out. And you're like escorts because no, you're not talking no girl out of bed to come and just like hang out with you at 4 a.m. as you're blown out of your skull.
Yeah. Well, there was I do some traveling with this also. And, you know, I go to Fort St. John, right? Mm-hmm. And I like Fort St. John. It's a beautiful drive. I know people there now. I get caught up on what's being built in town and, you know, I like these client friends, right? So I get updates on their life and everything. And, I think the drive there is beautiful and it's kind of like the Wild West, right? And I remember the first time I went, it was very busy and I didn't know if it was going to be busy or not. And so I did go on an out call and I got called to this hotel room. This guy was bugging me. And I got called to this hotel room and he wanted me to spend the night. And that's like quite a bit of money, right? And there's substances all over the room, cigarette smoke. The guy's out of it.
Yeah.
He's showing me his truck from he's showing me like assets, you know. So I guess men speak, it's like they like you, you know.
Yeah.
And he was out of it. And so I stayed an hour and I was like, listen, you know, I'm not taking all your money, because he was trying to give me a large sum of money to stay with him. I'm like, you need to go to sleep and then get a hold of me tomorrow. And I think he realized later on, like maybe reflected on this and did contact me the next day and asked if he could take me out for supper, and basically showed up at my hotel like the bow tie on and hair brushed and everything.
Cleaned
and
himself up a little.
Yeah, cleaned himself up a little. But he was wild. And then, you know, I've known him since then. Like he's, trust me, you know, I'm like, I'm not taking your thousands of dollars here to sit with you. You're out of your mind. You can't even but it's connection, you know. At the end of the day, it's connection.
Yeah, it's refreshing to like hear the other side of it.
Yeah,
because like you do, like initially, like any dude is going to be sitting there being like, whatever, this, you know, talking shit on you or whatever, some other sex worker, and not understand where you come from on it.
Yeah,
and like. Again, like I say, like I think like it should be legal. There's nothing wrong with it. There's, to me personally, it doesn't affect my life. It doesn't, you know, you chose this path.
There, you know, I have seen, you know, ads for, you know, women who have had horrible experiences in sex work. And I respect they've had these experiences and stuff. I've been, and other people that I know who are involved with the sex trade, a few of them, you know, they're pretty self-responsible with regards to mental health and their own mental health, right? And processing this with a therapist, you know, so they can get, you know, some perspective on maybe bad situations, you know? And there's certainly like some very sad, overwhelming situations that you come across too, you know, and in getting perspective. And, you know, for me, it's been, I'm like, somebody gave me a book on forgiveness, right? And I'm like, oh, fuck, what the fuck is this? But anyway, I opened it up and, you know, I read like a chapter, just randomly opened it up and just read like a couple paragraphs. And it was talking about radical forgiveness. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So anyway, I read a little bit further and it was, you know, to forgive, you know, having this mantra that forgive them for they do not know. mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, with that, like, I'd had, you know, some guys that like bumbling idiots almost, right? Not bumbling idiots, but I am now able to put myself in their shoes and be like, you know, he's nervous and he's insecure and, you know, he needs some affection.
Yeah.
And like some kindness.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so much easier for me to do now, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely seeing this side yeah. of sex work. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. I know a lot of dancers in the yeah. city and other girls that do all yeah. sorts of, I know of porn stars in the city. Yeah. And then, like, even, like, when we were talking prior, like, the mm-hmm. pre-interview, like, I've met couples, too, that are, like, openly swingers. And yeah. those are some of the most secure relationships yeah. I've ever come across.
Yeah.
Which is, like, to, you know, anybody else, they would yeah. be like, how the fuck can you do that?
Yes.
But that's how they connect. That's yeah. how they get down. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing
that's
wrong
how they
with
get
it.
Down.
I don't think, like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's not...
It's clear boundaries mm-hmm. on things, right? And like clear communication. And yeah, I have friends that are, yeah, swingers too, and they seem pretty darn happy.
Yeah.
You
like
know?
Every couple that I had an interaction with mm-hmm. were like secure.
Cool.
They knew,
yeah.
They were just down with it. Like they yeah. just didn't care about too much. They didn't let anything affect them.
Yeah.
And they just seemed really secure. They had their shit together. Like some of them were like wealthy business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And even like yourself,
yeah.
if I seen you walking down the street, I would never suspect
yeah.
you do the things that you do.
Yes.
And even with them,
yeah.
I would see them in mm-hmm. a public setting and I would never out of a million years be able to pick and be like, yeah, those guys are freaks.
Yeah.
They are freaks.
I know. Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
so
totally.
So it's like, I guess the classic saying, never judge a book by
its cover.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? But
you never, ever know.
You just
don't. Never know.
And
you know?
Like it is. It's a different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
And even like your line of work
yeah.
is just so out there. And like, it's so off the beaten path that some
yeah.
people just can't comprehend why the
yeah.
fuck
and
would
that's,
she do this?
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I just don't. I don't share it with very many people
mm-hmm.
at all, you know, at all. Because
other
I just,
than the people that are going to listen to this podcast, now, yeah. they know.
They'll be like, I think I know that woman.
I've heard of Shannon Sweet.
I think I know her.
She peed on my grandpa, too.
I was fisted by that woman. No,
she ran me like a puppet.
For hours on end.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's always interesting, and it's great to hear, like, the other side of things,
yeah.
you know? Like, I wish I knew why what makes me tick sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe there's somebody out there that could break that down for me.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, now at a place where I'm a little more secure with my own personality and my,
mm-hmm.
like, how I operate as a human, what I like, what I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm coming of that age now of 30 where I'm starting to really figure myself out.
Yeah.
Rather than just being this young guy trying to experience.
Just bumbling around.
Yeah.
And,
trying
yeah.
to experience as much as I possibly can.
Yes.
To try and build something and figure out who the fuck, what the fuck.
Yeah. And where you're going.
Yeah. It yeah. definitely puts like things and be like, oh, yeah. It's so funny too, like looking back, hey.
Yeah.
Like you now being in this line of work.
Yeah.
Can you look back and be like, wow, I can't believe like I was there doing that.
There's, you know, times I remember going into the studio, you know, and there was
mm-hmm.
a front door on White Avenue and I was like, oh yeah, I have to go in. And I think that the whole world was looking at me. And
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You get to a point where it's like, you're not that fucking important.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking, you know? And
yeah.
it's pretty humbling when you hit that point,
yeah.
you know? And if you are, well, I'm like, you know, like I walk around, I joke around and I'll be like, do you know who the fuck I am? I'm Shannon fucking Sweet, okay? Out of my way, you know? But, yeah, when you realize you're not, like, in the grand scheme of things, man, like, nobody's going to,
yeah,
you know?
There's, and it's like the online culture. Like, I laugh so much when people take these comments
yes.
on social media personally. I did in the beginning because
mm-hmm.
it was just so foreign to me.
Yeah.
And, like, now if somebody could tell me to kill myself and I'd be like, well, that's just like
water off a duck's back.
Yeah. First off,
mm-hmm.
you don't think I've heard that? Secondly,
yeah.
give me a recipe here. What do
yeah.
I got to, what do I got to do?
Yeah.
Huh? You want a
yes.
rope? Do
yes.
I, is there a bathtub involved and a razor? Like
yeah.
what do you want? Like,
what does that look like to you?
Yeah. Cause
yeah.
if I do it,
I'm curious. What does that look like to
mm-hmm.
you?
Like
explain. engage.
I want to make sure that I fulfill your fantasy
yeah.
at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's like Shannon Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, and, you know, I don't, you know, on occasion, you get texts. And friends of mine, we joke around that we get these horrible texts. And I'm like, where do people fucking find the time to, like, you know, text these awful, awful fucking things.
Insecurity. It has to be insecurity, like, or something.
I don't know. I'm like, I think it does boil down, quite honestly, to another form of connection. Mm-hmm. I really do. Just to connect somehow, even if it's by text.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I attribute it to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So you kind of take anything negative and trying to see, like, a positive, like the silver lining of it? Is that, like,
I'm like, you know, I think this person just needs some more kindness in their life. If they're saying those things, like, I would never, would I say something like that to somebody? I have in the past, you know, like,
I think we all have.
The
we can
way
all agree,
far like, past, probably in a fit of rage, which happens not that often anymore. But, you know, like, to just contact some random person that you don't actually know, you mm-hmm. know, like, that says more about that person than you.
100%.
Mm-hmm. I just, like, delete, block. I call people. I'm like, that's really inappropriate. Like, it's inappropriate.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even ask. I'm like, that's really inappropriate. I had, like, some guy, I don't know, he texted me something. It was vulgar. And I'm like, you know, please don't contact me again. That's really vulgar. It's vulgar and it's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, whoa. Usually they're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, don't communicate with people like that. Or with me anyway. Like,
no,
I'm not
going to
tolerate it. Well, it's ignorant. You know? Like, don't. That's not, like, hot.
Yeah.
You
and,
know?
And like, I understand, like, the brassness of this brand that I've that I've created.
Yeah.
And over time, you know, I was a young guy and I was like, I had this envisioned myself lighting the world on fire.
Yes.
And I don't know what I was intended to do with it.
Yeah.
And as time went on, you know, like and once I cleaned myself up too, mm-hmm. and I've noticed, like, now I'm drawing a different audience. It's more of a peer kind of, like, good mm-hmm. group, brass, hardworking kind of class men that just, you know, like, they just don't have something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't, there's sports and there's so much to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to collectively build a group of, like, good people.
Good people.
Yeah.
Like a
just
good following.
Yeah. It's a good hardworking class of people that just kind of, they just don't have a voice.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
And it's, especially with this podcast, I noticed, like, the base core that listens to it are just, like, some dudes that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they like drinking beer, hanging out, and it's not so much the snorting blow and being, like, Motley Crue of the 80s anymore. It's like, these are men now. These are, like, fathers. And, like, they like the out there humor
mm-hmm.
more so than they want that
they
crazy
can see themselves.
Lifestyle.
They can,
like,
see themselves.
It's a humorous brand more so than it will ever
be. Well, and it's aspects of Canadian life, too, which attracted me to watching this, you know, where I'm like, I work with a lot of Americans and, you know, they love Canadians. They love it. They, you know, they can't mm-hmm. They can't get enough of like Trailer Park Boys and Letterkenny and, you know, Uncle Hack now and stuff. And, they, you know, it's like far out there and it's a culture that, you know, a lot of the world's not familiar with in some ways. So it's nice to make fun of it almost, make light of it.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just shooting a text here. I'm still listening. I can kind of,
you can do two things at once.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, I don't know. I do.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut this short.
No.
I do have another,
podcast. No, for sure.
I got to hop on another guy's,
yeah.
but I do appreciate you coming in and, giving us this different perspective. It was good to just have a conversation with somebody about this,
mm-hmm.
about prostitution and about your side, your story to it, you know, instead of just coming in here and be like, hey, tell me how much you get fucked out of a week, you know what I mean? Like, I understand that there's more to it, but there's also those crazy stories that I was fascinated when there was, like, that first Twitter interaction. I was like, I tried initially to have somebody that was that did escort services mm-hmm. to come on the podcast and talk about it.
Yeah.
But then it just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And then this presented itself, and I'm like, oh, I just have so many questions.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. We could have probably had a 3-hour conversation. I just like,
oh, yeah, totally.
More about what you do and like how
yeah.
it's perceived, how people.
Yeah, the perception of it. Yeah.
There's so much more to it that you can't just fit in an hour and 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I totally get that. Yeah.
But if you have a social handle or anything that people can tweet you and be like, great yeah. episode.
Yeah. You know, Shannon Sweet
on
one or ShannonSweet.com.
ShannonSweet.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a website.
So, all right.
Yeah.
ShannonSweet1 on Twitter.
Yeah. ShannonSweet1 on Twitter or ShannonSweet, and it's SWEE1.
Okay.
Yeah. And then ShannonSweet.com.
Okay. Perfect.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for coming in. We appreciate you coming on the Uncle Hack podcast.
And it's been thanks a pleasure for having me.
Anytime.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
We will probably have to, like, once this kind of lifts and all that, maybe we'll bring you back in.
That
maybe
would be
you got
awesome.
Some new experiences.
New share. Stories.
Yes.
Yes. I'll bring up some stories about Lloyd Minister.
Yes.
Yes.
There
that's
we go.
A good one.
Awesome.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.